Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today we journey to Guadalajara, Mexico, and we have our guests Matthew Prutzman and Adam Lopez. Tell you a little bit about both of these gentlemen. Matthew worked in operations in various university libraries in Virginia and California from 2000 until 2022. Now he runs two Airbnbs in Guadalajara, Mexico with his husband. He was born and raised in rural Virginia, moved to California in 2006, and then to Mexico in 2020. He attended the University of Virginia, where he received a degree in urban planning. Matthew currently lives in Guadalajara, Mexico, with his husband of 7 years, three or four dogs, you've lost count, four birds, various fish, and a turtle named Angela. Oh, at least the turtle's not named what your dog's named. He chose to live in Guadalajara for the quality of life, queer culture, and friendliness of people. He's an avid gardener, self-taught chef, and puzzle fanatic. All right. Interesting, Matthew. And Adam Lopez. Adam was born in Los Angeles, California, studied fine arts at the San Francisco Art Institute. Lived many years in San Francisco and New York City and returned to LA in his 30s, where he met Matthew. Adam worked in Hollywood for many years in production and also sold handmade mid-century furniture online. Currently, he runs an e-commerce shop where he sells Mexican handicrafts worldwide. Adam and Matthew formed an art collective in 2020 that brings art to local children of the community, and they also hold art shows and cultural events in one of their Airbnbs. Very interesting. So, and ¿cómo está, guys?
Bien, bien. Muy bien, gracias.
Thank you for coming to the podcast, and we'll start off. I'll review a little bit of quick facts on Guadalajara. Okay. So I'll go over that first. All right. Guadalajara is the capital city of the state of Jalisco in Mexico. Did I say that right? Jalisco.
Correct, yes.
Okay. With a population of over 1.5 million people, but the metro is 5.5 million, and it's the second most populous city in Mexico. Guadalajara is known for its rich cultural heritage, including mariachi music, tequila, oh yeah, I can take some of that right now, and the charro cowboy tradition. Don't know what that is, but we'll get into that. The city is also home to several universities and has a thriving technology industry. Guadalajara has a warm, semi-arid climate and an average temperature of around 22 degrees centigrade, which is 72 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the year. The city has a vibrant LGBTQ plus community with several gay bars, clubs, and events taking place throughout the year. The annual Guadalajara Pride Parade takes place in June, attracts thousands of participants and visitors from all over Mexico and beyond. Guadalajara has been recognized as one of the most gay-friendly cities in Mexico, and a country as a whole is becoming increasingly accepting to LGBTQ people and their rights. Again, guys, welcome to the podcast, and tell us a little bit about your story. Where did you live? Tell us about your prior living, you know, coming to Guadalajara, when and why you moved there, and why did you choose Guadalajara as a city in Mexico?
Well, we lived in Echo Park, which is a little neighborhood in LA, which has become in recent years very hip and fancy and expensive.
And expensive.
And we lived actually before we bought our house in Mexico, before we moved here, we were looking into like, you know, what can we buy in LA? And that turned out to be nothing. Because even in Echo Park, which is a neighborhood I actually grew up in, houses at the minimum are at almost $1 million now. So it was completely out of like what we wanted to spend.
What we could spend.
What we could spend. We also didn't want to, you know, a 30-year mortgage. We didn't want to be tied down financially to anything, you know, have debt for the rest of our lives. So when was it? 2000. Gosh, when did we buy the first house?
2017.
2017, or actually 2016, we came to Guadalajara.
Right.
Matthew and I, well, I already knew Guadalajara because my parents are from here, but Matthew fell in love with it. And we, you know, toyed with the idea of like, why don't we buy a house there to retire in one day? And we spent a year finding one, and we finally did, something we could afford in a great neighborhood. And we bought it, remodeled it. Fast forward, you know, 2019, right? 2020. Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic became a really big thing, we had already planned a vacation to come visit Guadalajara with our friends. And we came, and 3 days later, the pandemic hit.
And everything shut down.
Everything shut down. And we kind of knew this was going to happen, so it was just kind of like an excuse to move earlier. And we ended up staying, and we haven't. I mean, we've gone back to visit, but we've been living here ever since then.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to Mexico.
Wow. That's a great, you know, it's a great thing. I mean, the pandemic, although it was devastating, it did have its good points as well.
Right.
So,
for sure.
I mean, I was sick of working. Like, I was sick of working long hours in Hollywood. You know, we had 18-hour days. It was just, you couldn't plan vacations. You couldn't plan birthdays because you're always on call. And I was really at my wit's end. And I took the pandemic as an excuse to stop doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So, okay. So once you were in Guadalajara, when did you open up the Airbnb?
That was...
a year later, right? A year and a half later.
2 years later.
2 years later?
2 years later, we opened that up. So we had that house, and then we... because also a good point of the pandemic, we were living in Mexico, we weren't paying rent, and we were able to save enough money to buy a second house.
Well, Matthew was still working.
Yeah,
remotely.
I was still working at a library in Los Angeles remotely. And so we were able to save enough money to buy a second house.
In the same neighborhood.
In the same neighborhood, yeah. And so after we did that, we were remodeling it, and then... I'm not sure exactly how we decided to go forward with it, but we said, you know, we're gonna rent an apartment and we're gonna rent out our house on
right.
Airbnb.
Well, we got very lucky. As we were remodeling the second house, across the street, they were remodeling an apartment. And I was watching with hawk eye, and I was like, the minute they put up their for rent sign, I'm gonna call the guy. And I did, and I got it. So we lived directly across the street from our second house.
Mm-hmm.
And our rent, we figured we rent one of our houses for one weekend. It pays our month's rent in the apartment. It's a no-brainer.
Isn't,
you know, it's like,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah, we want to make enough money so we can retire, like fully retire. But that's not going to happen until we, you know, we do have a little bit of debt because of the second house and that remodel. But we wanted to earn and rent both houses. So that was the only way to do that would be to live in an apartment. But the apartments here are very affordable compared to Los Angeles. I'm not sure what it's like living like in Minnesota or something. But, you know, we pay 6,000 pesos a month for a two-bedroom apartment with a living room, a dining room, two bathrooms, a big kitchen, a big back patio, and a big front balcony.
And how much does that equal in dollars?
$300, about, depending on the exchange rate.
Roughly.
Yeah.
So you rent for $300 a month.
Yeah, we pay $300 a month to live in an apartment, and one weekend of, you know, in one of the houses that we rent on Airbnb will pay for that.
Wow. For a weekend.
For one week. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we rent both of the houses we own now on Airbnb, and they're usually fully booked.
Mm-hmm. Every weekend.
Yeah.
Look at you, entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Plus, I have my online store, and that gives us extra change to spend, you know?
Excellent. That's awesome. That really is awesome. So, geographically speaking, Guadalajara, tell the audience where it's located within Mexico. What's it near?
It's in central Mexico. So, we're about maybe a 5-hour drive from Mexico City. And then in the state of Jalisco is Puerto Vallarta, which is also about a 5-hour drive. So we're about here 3 hours from the coast.
Yeah. It's
from about, the Pacific.
Yeah. And 4 hours to Guanajuato.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you can fly to the F in half an hour, 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So we're in the middle and we're very close to everything. So you can take the fancy bus and go to the beach, you know?
Okay, I was going to say, do you miss going to the beach? And it takes you hours to get there, right?
Well, you know, everyone that lives in California, or at least Los Angeles, they move there, if they're not from there, to be close to the beach. I grew up there, and we live there. Let me tell you, nobody goes to the beach. It takes 2 hours in traffic. You can't drink on the beach. No dogs are allowed.
The water's cold.
It's always cold. The beach is about, you know, 2 miles deep of hot sand. It's not fun. No one goes. No one does it. So it's a myth about California. You know, I mean, I guess if you live in San Diego, it's a different situation.
Right.
But in LA, no one goes to the beach. Just tourists, you know, and it's
not okay. Fun.
But we did live close enough to the border where my parents have a beach house in Baja. And so we used to drive there on the weekends. That was worth it for us because it's
a nicer beach.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So how many hours away from the beach? You like 3 or 4?
It is, I think, about 3 hours from the near to the nearest beach.
Driving.
Okay.
Driving. Yeah.
So if you had an urge, you can get there.
Yeah.
And we do. We go. It's a lot nicer. You know, driving to the beach in Mexico is a lot nicer than driving to the beach in, say, Coney Island or Malibu. It's a big difference in the quality of the beach. And, like, you're actually in jungle. You know?
Well, also the trip there is
beautiful.
You drive through Tequila, all the agave fields. You
drive to the volcano.
Drive by a volcano. You drive over beautiful mountains in the jungle. It's really magical.
It is not boring. It's not like a freeway where you just see gray cement. You literally see lush environments.
Yeah.
You know.
So Guadalajara is a metropolitan, urban, big, huge city. Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Is it spread out? Is it?
It is very large by Mexican standards, I guess. Yeah. But by American standards, it's actually quite a small city.
To me, it feels like a small LA with a San Francisco inside the downtown.
That makes
sense. Like downtown where we live is very walkable and it's just old buildings and it's beautiful and tiny. But then you can drive in the outskirts of the city and it's very big, you know?
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is living in a gay community, LGBTQ community, important? And is there such a thing in Guadalajara?
I don't. We go back and forth on this.
Okay, okay, so I think, and this is Adam speaking, by the way. I think Guadalajara is so gay that you don't need a gayborhood. It's like so, everywhere you go is gay. You know, you go to any restaurant or bar, like especially in the Americana neighborhood, which is like the fancy hipster neighborhood. Every it's like 50-50 for the clientele. So that's it's kind of like the future of what people want in LGBT culture, where you don't need gay bars because it's so accepted.
Everything is gay friendly.
Everything is gay friendly here. And yes, we have gay bars and we have clubs, but like we don't even go to those places because we're so comfortable in the regular bars.
Right.
And there's so many gays around us. It's a lot like Los Angeles is now, where we never went to West Hollywood. We just hung out in Silver Lake and Los Feliz and Echo Park because everything hip is also everything gay, you know?
It's integrated.
It's very integrated.
Right.
But also, it's, you know, tweens and twinks everywhere. There's no adults. Right. I don't know what happened to the adults. They've all disappeared. You know, there's either people who are in their early 20s or there's older gays in their 60s and 70s. But people our age, we really haven't had.
There's no in between.
We haven't met any gays our age, which is, I don't know where they're at, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell anybody that you're really not of the retirement age yet, but
I mean, you don't have to be old to be retired.
That's true. Very true.
You know, people ask us, well, are you technically retired? And I say, well, I guess technically not, but we don't have jobs. So what does retirement mean? You know, like, does it mean you have to be on a pension or does it mean, you have
a business? You're self-sufficient.
Right. Like we have businesses, but
We have work. We don't have jobs.
Yeah, we spend a couple hours a week technically working, and that's it. You know, which isn't a
awesome.
Lot, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. So, okay. And you're also kind of close. You're like 40 minutes out of Ahihik, which is another, all of a sudden this has become like another gay destination for retired expats.
So. Yeah, I mean, right. I just saw in that group someone posted that they just had a dinner with 60 gays.
100, yes.
100 gays.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, that's wild. But yeah. You know, everyone is gray-haired and older. So it's definitely a retirement. That's definitely a retirement community.
Or no hair, like me.
Guadalajara, you don't see as many older expats as you would in Ahijic. Right. You know? I mean, they exist here, but I think Ahijic and Chapala is... For
the older senior crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have noticed a lot on like Facebook groups here that a lot of them are getting bored with the scene and they're moving back into the city.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm always for an urban area. I love the urban lifestyle. I'm originally from New York, Brooklyn, New York. So you can't take the city out of the boy. So
Right.
Yeah. And okay. To me, Guadalajara seems like, it's not as New York as Ciudad de Mexico is, but it seems, you know, Portlandish, San Franciscoish.
It's,
I would say, like even like Durham or one of those, like
it's a city of neighborhoods,
right?
Okay. So
it's like New Orleans too.
You know, like to go back to your question about how big is the city, etc. It's, you know, our part of the city is mostly one, two, maybe three story buildings, but it's still very dense. And so, as Adam was saying, you can walk to everything, you know, there's a million pedestrians, like all day long, pedestrians walking up and down the street. It feels very urban, but it also feels like a neighborhood where we know all our neighbors and people recognize us. And
yeah, I can't go to the mercado without someone asking me, where's your husband? You know, I have legs. I can walk by myself. I have a brain.
So that's great. So you could walk everywhere. Like it's the infrastructure is as such as where you can walk to the market. You could walk to the drugstore. You can walk to the doctor.
I mean, where we live. Now, mind you, we live in El Centro. A lot of the expats we know do not live in El Centro. They live in the Americana, they live in Providencia, they live in Chapalita. Those neighborhoods are more suburban. They're newer neighborhoods.
American style,
like, you know, like the way they design those parts of town. So people there, it's not as walkable as where we live.
Yep.
You know, we're very fortunate that we have two mercados in our neighborhood. And so we're literally a block away from the bigger mercado. I have friends who live in the Americana and they don't even have mercados. They have, you know, they'll have a Soriana or like a fancy Fresco, which is
like a fancy grocery store,
city market, but it's not walkable. No one walks. They take Ubers everywhere. Where we live, we can walk
everywhere.
Like I never use the car.
Do you have a car?
Yeah, we have a car. Yeah.
You have a car.
We bought it because we wanted to, first we didn't want to buy a car. You know, we sold our car in LA and we said, we're not going to own a car. But then we realized it's literally impossible to rent a car in Mexico. It's just, there's so many hoops to go through.
It's very difficult.
And because we have dogs, we couldn't travel with them as much as we wanted to, like to the beach and such. So we bought a car and we bought it mainly for that reason, you know, and for the construction of the new house, we needed a vehicle too. But we don't really use it. Sometimes it's days where I don't even turn it on.
Yeah.
You know?
And do you have like a transportation system, like a metro?
We do. We live two blocks, I don't know, a very long block from the newest line of the subway. There's three lines, but it goes right downtown. Mm-hmm. It comes every 5 minutes. You're downtown in
seven
minutes or something.
Yeah. It's very cheap. It's 9 pesos and 50 centavos.
Yeah.
A ride.
So like 50 cents roughly.
50 cents a ride each way. And it goes... Our line goes from Tlaquepaque downtown to Zapopan downtown.
So like all across the urban area.
Yeah.
So. How about to the airport? Does it take
to the
airport?
They're building something.
They're working on it, but there's nothing yet.
But you know.
And there is a Guadalajara airport, right?
There is.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, it's under construction right now because they're expanding. They've gotten so much, you know, more traffic, but they had to make it bigger. You know, actually, my stepmother used to work at the Guadalajara airport in the 70s and 80s. And I remember going to work with her, and it was the tiniest little airport. It was kind of like Bob Hope used to be, the airport in LA.
Yep.
Tiny, tiny. And it's changed so much. It's so metropolitan now. It's so big and fancy, you know?
Yeah.
But the airport, just taking an Uber to the airport is so cheap. I mean, you're going to spend maybe at the most 350 pesos, which is about $17 to get to the airport.
Yeah, that's really cheap.
It's a bargain. Expensive. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like everything is a bargain.
Yeah, it comes and goes. As Matthew likes to say, Mexico gives and it takes.
Yep. That's a good, I like that. So is it easy or difficult to meet others? Are you both fluent in Spanish?
Adam is fluent in Spanish. I started learning after we moved here. So when we moved here, I did not know a word of Spanish.
He did not, literally could not even say hello. He was too shy, too scared, you know?
And I have a teacher who is from Mexico, and she lives here in the city, and I meet with her once a week on Zoom. And I've been meeting with her for
over 2 years.
And
Matthew doesn't like to admit it, but he's gotten very fluent.
Tell us, Adam.
I'll go to the mercado with him, and I'll stand back and not say a word and make him deal with all the vendors. And he does it. And he will stand on the corner and chit-chat with the neighbor, you know, and gossip. And he's gotten very, very fluent. He's
Look
shy
at you,
about
Matthew.
He's shy around me, but he'll do it when I'm not there.
Yes.
I see him.
Yes.
I see him from the balcony talking to the neighbors. So I know he's talking to them.
That is so cool. That's great.
And she's very affordable. I think, I don't know what she charges now, but what is
that? Yeah, I pay $9 an hour, I think, for one-on-one tutoring.
Yeah.
That's great. For an hour?
Yeah.
For an hour. And we met her through another expat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of her clientele might be gay guys.
I think all of her clients are gay expats.
Yeah. And she's cool. Like, we hang out with her. You know, she's real fun. So, yeah.
Cool. So but is it difficult to meet people?
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Is it difficult to meet people, like friends and stuff?
You know, it isn't, but it is, because we moved here during the pandemic.
Right.
And we spent 2 years like indoors. And so I feel like we had all that time wasted. We're not, you know, we could have been meeting new people. In the last year, we've been meeting a lot of people, especially a lot of Mexicans. I didn't want to have other expat friends. I don't believe in the idea of living in an American bubble. And so we've been very fortunate to meet a lot of local gays and non-gays. But I think what really helped is the art collective that we have. We've met a lot of people through that. And also, you know, we use one of our Airbnbs as an art space, as well as a cultural center art space when it's not booked. And that's helped open the door to meeting new people as well, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I do think that people from Guadalajara are very friendly.
Very, like, very friendly.
People want to talk to you and get to know you.
But, you know, there's a double-edged sword, because they also want to practice their English constantly.
It's true.
And it's like, true. You know what? We're not here for conversation club. I want to go have a drink with you, not, you know, correct your,
right.
your language.
They're kind of enamored that you speak English. Oh, teach me English.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you go to a restaurant and you're trying to order, and then they respond in English, and then they don't know what they're saying. And
terrible
I'm like, you're getting
English.
My order wrong. Let's just speak in Spanish. So I speak perfect Spanish. And they go, no, I want to practice. I'm like, but you're going to get my order wrong.
No, right. You're going to screw it up.
I mean, it's cute. I love how friendly people are here,
because
they really, really are friendly. And, you know, they are very down to earth. But I think it comes to a point where, like, they're almost too interested in things, you know? I'm like,
you know what? I think what they think is they see an American. They know you speak English. They're just excited to be able to speak English.
Yes.
And so they say, oh, I'll speak English, you know? Mm-hmm. And you just
Absolutely.
Don't want to, yeah.
Well, Matthew had an incident recently at the mercado. There's a thing called a cremería, which is where they sell like milk and eggs and cheese, right? Like a counter.
Yeah.
And there was these young kids that were working there, and they were really excited to see Matthew. And one boy goes to this girl and is like, practice your English with them. You know, go talk to him. And so she goes up to Matthew and she goes, good morning, I love you. And everyone starts cracking up because she obviously said the wrong thing, but she had no idea what she was saying.
I love you.
It's cute. You know, it's cute.
Yes. That's hysterical. I love it. All right. So, but is speaking Spanish a must? If you move there, let's say I move.
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes. If you're not living in the expat bubble, right, in the fancy American style neighborhoods where every, you know, where there's Starbucks and like Donny Rockets and those kind of restaurants, you need to learn Spanish. Also, I think it's a courtesy to the country you're living in to learn their local language.
I think it's disrespectful to not speak Spanish, or at least try to speak Spanish. You know, like we have friends who don't live in the bubble and they
are trying.
They try as hard as they can to speak Spanish. Yeah. And I think
you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. Like people appreciate that, you know?
You're right.
Yeah,
you try.
Also, I think something we talked about before was that we are not expats. Matthew and I are immigrants.
We consider ourselves immigrants.
You know,
yeah.
We did not move here to live in the American or Canadian bubble. We wanted to experience a new life and we wanted to make new friends and be part of a new culture.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why we don't live in the American neighborhoods. We live in Matthew's the only white person for miles on this side of town.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And so I didn't want to be part of, I didn't want to copy what I had in Los Angeles here. We don't shop at Costco. We go to Walmart on emergencies. You know, we try to avoid the big box stores.
Yeah.
We only shop at the Mercados for the most part, you know? And so it's hard to, we're not like the prime example probably of most, you know, who you call expats in Mexico.
Right.
But I think we're probably a good example of how to have a new life in a new country and really embrace the lifestyle, you know?
I love that. I love that. Yeah. It's totally different lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you were moving as an expat and you said, okay, I'm an expat, I'm going to live in an expat community amongst Americans, Canadians, people that speak English because I feel more comfortable, which I could understand.
Right.
But if you want to just immerse yourself, you know, get yourself into the culture of the country that you're going to and really know the country, yeah, learn the language and be an immigrant instead of an expat.
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you a story about our first friend we ever made in Mexico. So we were on a flight coming from LA to Guadalajara. It was probably about a month after we bought our first house. And we were on the flight and I feel someone touch
coming
my shoulder.
Coming from vacation.
Yeah. And someone tapped my shoulder and I turn around and this lady says to me, "Hey, you're my neighbor. You live on the same block as me in Guadalajara." And I said, "What?" So it turns out she owns this corner store, this Abarrotes, up the street from us. And she became our first friend in Mexico. And we've known her now for almost 5 years, right?
She's an ultimate fag hag.
Well, besides her being an ultimate fag hag, she's an older woman and she has been basically like our second mother.
Yes.
/ friend. You know?
She's our mom in Mexico.
We spend every holiday with her. We celebrate each other's birthdays with only her and her husband. Like we do a lot of family traditional stuff with her. We also hired her in the beginning to take care of our first house for us while we were in Los Angeles. And she dealt with Airbnb on our first house for years. And now she's just she's just our best friend who happens to be in her late 50s and she's straight and she doesn't speak a word of English.
Wow.
And she actually was the one who gifted us Angela the Turtle.
That's true.
Yeah.
Angela the Turtle.
So we are trying our hardest to make Mexican friends. We have a lot of expat friends. We do. But we have probably the same amount or more of Mexican friends.
Yeah.
To confront. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And a lot of them don't speak any English. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would have a difficult time because I don't really know Spanish. Where my husband, we're going to Spain in September for a month. And, you know, we're going to check it out, see if that's the place we want to be. But who knows? And he's learning Spanish. So he's retired, so he could take the time and he's an hour or 2 hours a day. He's doing fairly well. He used to have a tutor on Zoom and now he's just doing some of the apps. Me, I work full time and do the podcast, so I have no life. So I have no time to really immerse myself, but I will. At least I could probably understand the basics. But yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Tell us a little bit about the local economy. Can you provide examples to the audience about housing costs, either to buy or to rent? What is like an electric bill like per month, a water bill, gas, taxes?
Yeah, so as we said, we rent our apartment for approximately $300 a month.
Well, we need to also rephrase it. We don't live in the Americana or Providencia.
We live in a regular neighborhood.
We live in a regular neighborhood called Analco, which is the oldest neighborhood in Guadalajara. And it's primarily working class, you know, it's 100% Mexican. It's mostly old houses, colonial style. And so there's nothing new or fancy in this neighborhood. We're very close. We're minutes from like walking to downtown. So we have a different perspective than a lot of the other expats. But we pay, our first house we bought, it was $72,000.
Wow.
In 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Our second house that we bought last year, it's a little bigger, but it was more run down, so it took a lot of work. But that house cost us $113,000.
For a four-bedroom house.
It's 3,000 wow. square feet.
Holy yeah. moly.
Yeah.
So how much? It's $100 and
the same
$100
type
and what?
Of house. I'm sorry?
$100 and what? Thousand?
Around $112,000.
Wow.
U.S. Oof. Yeah. It's cheap. But, you know, we also spent $50,000 remodeling
the house.
Yeah. So,
but still,
that's still a bargain.
Very cheap.
Nothing
compared to
but,
our
you know,
standards.
We have friends who have bought in the Americana area, and those houses started at a couple years ago at $250,000 up to like.
A lot of them are $400,000, $500,000, something like that.
Like most people buy apartments now in that part of town, and the apartments start at, I want to say, 2.5 to 3 million pesos, which is about 150 grand.
Yeah.
For an apartment.
For a condo.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's a luxury lifestyle that they live. We wanted to live in old, beautiful Mexican houses with courtyards and arches and, you know, adobe walls and like beautiful tile floors. And that's our romantic version of Mexico, you know, which still exists apparently.
Yes.
But yeah, so for like bills, we spend.
I have a
bill here. Yeah.
I have two bills here. There's a water bill. For a water bill is for 1 month?
2 months.
Two months. And it's 200 pesos, which is about $10 for 2 months.
Oh, my God.
And that's for the big house. That's 3,000
square
feet.
Yeah. And then an electricity bill for 2 months that is also 196 pesos, so about $10 for 2 months.
Is there air conditioning?
No.
No air conditioning.
These big old adobe houses don't use air conditioning. They're built to not get hot.
Yes. They have tall ceilings, so the hot air rises, and they have courtyards, so the wind blows through.
Yeah.
And we have never closed all the windows and doors in our apartment. We've lived here for 2.5 years, and it's always open year-round because there's always a great breeze here. And, you know, this time of year, the springtime, is the hottest time of year. So May is the hottest month.
Right.
And it's warm this time of year, but it's not unbearable.
No, I mean, there's nothing a shot of mezcal can't fix.
Right. All right.
Yeah, just smoke a joint, drink some mezcal, and you'll be fine in your underwear.
There you go.
When we lived in LA, it used to get so hot. And
LA
we had
this
big balcony. Like, we had an outdoor patio in LA. We would just sit in our underwear in the patio and drink and smoke because it was, I mean, it would be 110 sometimes, you know, in LA.
Yeah.
It doesn't get that hot.
It doesn't get that hot.
So our bills are minimal, but we have two houses and an apartment. So, it, you know, it adds up. The internet's a little expensive.
No.
Well, for here, you know, for Mexico, we pay $740 a month per house. So that's like
35 bucks.
$5 per house.
For the internet.
For real good internet.
Real fast, high-speed internet.
Yeah. Like, way better internet than we ever had in the United States.
But let me blow your listeners' mind for a second. Our property taxes, okay? Now, we own two houses outright. I just paid a property tax. It was about $86 per house per year.
Woo! $86 per house per year.
Yeah.
And, okay. Let me give you a little comparison. So we live in a condo. It's about 1,700 square feet. Our property taxes, approximately $2,700
per year. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
My dad last year paid $22,000 in property tax in LA. Yeah. So, you know, it's a...
I believe it.
But you also have, you know, bumpy roads and you have broken lights and, you know, crosswalks that don't work, you know, but it's, you know, it is what it is. You pay for what you get, or you get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
I'm not complaining about the cheap property taxes at all. It's insanity how cheap it is. I don't understand how it doesn't make any sense to me how it works in this country.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But anyway, it's more power to you.
Right.
When you mentioned a water bill, is that water for showering and everything else and plumbing, washing and plumbing and stuff like
not
that?
Not for drinking.
You don't drink the water.
Not for drinking. Okay, so that's another question.
Right.
We have water delivered. So you buy
5 gallon jugs.
Yeah, like big jugs of water. You know, like you'd usually have in the US at an office or whatever, you have a big jug of water. And it's $2 for a big jug, and they deliver it right to your house.
They bring it up the stairs, and they bring it into the kitchen. So we have about 5 of them rotating, 5 jugs, because you also have to cook with it. You know, if you're making pasta, you don't use the tap water. It's a little – it was inconvenient in the beginning, but we're still used to it now. We don't even think about it, you know. But so also – I'm sorry?
So I was going to say, so your best friend that lives on the same block – and she's a native. Does she drink tap water?
No.
Nobody drinks tap water.
No.
Nobody drinks it.
No.
So it doesn't matter if you're a native or not. You still get the shits if you.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't even think it's that. It's that for me, the tap water here is full of chemicals
and too many minerals.
Really?
It has like runoff from various industries and. You know,
and despite what the tourism board says about visiting Mexico, Puerto Vallarta and Baja California do not have drinkable water. It's a myth and a rumor started by tourism board. Do not drink the water, people.
No one in Mexico has drinkable water.
Just because you're in a high rise.
I asked that question online too.
Yeah.
I asked that question in a Facebook group. I was like, can you drink the water in Mexico? And I forget where it was. And some people did say yes, and most people said no. You don't want to do that.
No,
no. I forgot to mention, in Mexico, you do not have piped in gas for your house. You have to get tanks delivered. So we have in the houses, we have stationary tanks on the roof that get filled whenever they're low by these trucks that come with giant hoses. And in the apartment, we have this smaller gas tank, which is 30 liters, and it lasts us usually like 3 months.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also we have solar water heaters at the houses, so we don't use any gas for heating water. So that gas lasts a lot longer there.
Is it like propane gas?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that's very expensive here. I think it's expensive. A 30-liter tank is about 700 pesos, so like $30. You know? I mean, it's still cheaper than the US, obviously. But, yeah.
Gotcha. So, all right. So... we know that you get your bang for the buck.
We get the bang for the buck because we have Airbnbs. We have U.S. bucks. And, you know, but our Mexican friends, you know, they have restaurants and bars and small businesses. And, you know, for them, a good night is making 1,000 pesos.
If that,
you know.
So our, $50 a day.
Yeah. That's a lot of money here. Most people are making $17 a day. That's the average wage now with the new.
Wow.
Or it's 18 now with the increase, right? We used to have a housekeeper and she made big bucks. She was charging us 350 pesos a day, which was back then $15.
And she worked $15 a day.
Yeah. So. But our albañiles, which are construction workers, were making about
300 a day, maybe? $15 a day?
The maestro, the guy in charge, is making three, and his assistants were making 150. So his assistants were making...
$8 a day.
Yeah, and that's average
pay. That blows my mind. For, like,
manual labor.
For eight to 10 hours, yeah.
So a housekeeper that cleans the house, right?
Yeah.
Makes what? $11 a day? $15 a
day? $15 per house.
$17.
So if she can clean two houses a day, she's making $34, $35.
And how long does she take to clean a house?
Maybe 4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours or so. Yeah.
Okay. So I pay mine $110.
So that's a big...
$110
dollars
for like maybe four,
I should move to LA
hours.
To become a housekeeper. You know, seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wear your little apron.
So that's like the going rate for people. Like you, what I think a lot of people who come to Mexico from the US or Canada don't understand is that, yes, it is much cheaper for you because you have the dollar, right? But also people here, a lot of people are struggling. There really isn't a middle class here. You're either poor or you're rich.
Yeah.
Or rich.
And it's really difficult to really have a grasp on the reality of life here for a lot of people. Because they're living in their bubbles and, you know, they're ordering food every single day and they
take Ubers everywhere.
They take Ubers everywhere, you know.
Most people can't afford things like that.
Yeah. And so like I think we're a little bit more understanding about the situation.
Yeah.
And I think it helps too that my dad is from this town.
Mm-hmm. So do you do all your banking in a Mexican bank as opposed to a U.S. bank, or do you convert U.S. dollars over to pesos?
Well, we have, because of the Airbnb and the store that Adam runs, both of them pay dollars to an American bank. So he has
so you have to convert.
Yep. He has to go to the ATM
daily.
Daily, and like take out pesos from the American bank account.
So we have Capital One in the U.S. We have Capital One, and in Mexico, I have HSBC.
Okay.
We used to use Wise to transfer money, which is what a lot of people
That's what
do.
I do.
But the government in Mexico put a cap on how much you could transfer per day.
It's getting real hard.
Oh, really?
They're trying to fight what they say is money laundering, but I don't really know why they're really doing it. We've had a lot of issues where the banks will have like put pauses and or holds on my account because they think I'm laundering money, but in fact, I'm just getting paid, you know, and
right.
It's just more than Mexicans are used to, I guess. So the cap now is 9,500 pesos per day, which is about $450. So you can't take more than that out or deposit more than that into a Mexican bank account.
Without getting your account flagged
by the government and then they shut you down. So what I've been doing now, instead of doing Wise, is I just go, whenever I need money, I just take out the max, which is 9,500 pesos from Capital One, but through my Mexican bank. So I go to my Mexican bank, use their ATM, I pay their 60 peso fee, and I take out the max. Yeah.
Okay. Does Capital One charge you an international
service? No, Capital One has a really good rate. They give you almost the current exchange rate, and they refund you for any bank fees occurred in Mexico. So,
that's a good deal.
It's like, I think a lot of people use Charles Schwab, right?
Yeah,
a lot of
Charles Schwab as well. It's very good.
Yes.
But Capital One, you know, it's an online bank. They have very little fees.
Yeah.
So they've been working for us. I mean, it's been working out for years, you know? We had an issue with a local bank called BBVA, where they canceled my account because I had just transferred 2 million pesos to buy the second house. And they said, no, we don't want it. And they gave me a check for 2 million pesos on the spot and said, get out. Oh. Yeah. So it's been a little difficult. I think a lot of people have the same problem we've had trying to figure out how to deal with transferring funds into this country.
Yeah.
But I think what I figured out is just going when I need it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really working for us.
Sounds logical. Let's talk about climate. Summers, are they hot and humid or you're more dry, right?
It's more dry
and wet.
The springtime is the hottest. So like right now until May, It is in the high 80s or 90s every day.
In May, it gets sometimes 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the summertime, June, July, August, September are very rainy. And it'll get warm, but it rains and it cools off like giant thunderstorms.
But it'll rain for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It generally doesn't, it doesn't rain all day.
Usually at night. Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. And the winter is very, very mild.
Yeah. It's warmer here in the winter than LA.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, we don't, I mean, we've never owned an AC. We also sleep with a fan, mostly for the white noise.
We also don't own a heater.
We don't own a heater. I tend to actually kick the sheets off the bed because I get too hot at night.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we also have three dogs sleeping in the bed, which
cuddling.
Is a nightmare.
Well, yeah.
But they keep us warm. That could get warm. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, generally, I don't feel cold.
No.
You know?
No.
But we haven't acclimated because we see people in the street wearing puffy coats and giant hats every morning.
Yeah.
Because it's how many degrees out there?
Like 60 and they're freezing.
64,
yeah.
60.
And to them, that's like, but even in 3 years, I think we would have acclimated by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the coldest daytime temperature we've ever experienced.
Like 47, maybe?
No, daytime temperature is 60, mid-60s, 65. Probably.
Yeah, I could deal with that.
The coldest. Yeah. You know, that's like 2 days a year.
Yeah, I could deal with that, definitely. In the morning here in Phoenix, in the winter, we've just had in the 30s for a long stretch, which is kind of weird for Phoenix.
Wow. Yeah, I think I used to live in New York, and I hated the winter there.
Yeah.
And oh, my God, me too.
Flash forward 10, 15 years, and look at me now.
Yeah.
Mexico.
Yep. Yeah. Excellent. So, okay. Do you have earthquakes or hurricanes, or how does climate change?
Do you have earthquakes? There has not been a large earthquake in Guadalajara for a long time, but we recently had one that we actually felt.
It was scary.
It was scary.
Yeah. All the lamps.
But it didn't do any damage. It's been...
Well, wait. It didn't do any damage to our ancient old house, but our friend's high-rise apartment cracked. Anyways.
Oh, wow.
Goes to show.
Oh, so the upper-class people that live in the high-rise, that kind of like... cracked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's been, I think the last time there was like a damaging earthquake in Guadalajara was the 80s, maybe something like that. A long time ago. We do not, we're so far inland and so far in the mountains that we don't really get hurricanes or anything like that. I mean, they come, but it's just some rain.
You're far away from the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So earthquakes are not nothing. Like California.
Yeah, no. We get beautiful lightning storms, beautiful purple, orange skies. You know, it's really beautiful in the summer.
I mean, we did have last year, there was a thunderstorm that dropped 6.5 inches of rain in one afternoon.
And it did flood our house.
That was a little crazy, but, you know, it's usually like at the very beginning of the rainy season, there's crazy thunderstorms that, you know.
But and then we get hail in June.
We do get hail in June, yes.
Which destroys our garden every single year.
Yep.
But what can you do, you know? It's just, and they're like giant hail. They're like marbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, interesting. Glad I asked those questions. How about an arts and culture scene?
Well, Guadalajara.
You guys are artists.
Yes,
Matthew. Or you're into art.
We also have our art collective that we started with a friend, and
there are tons of museums.
Well, there's a lot of museums.
Well, compared to LA or New York, I'm sure there's way less museums. Yeah. But I think for the city, there are quite a few museums. There's a beautiful the oldest still in the Americas, Hospicio Cabañas, which opened in the 1700s or something, is now a giant art space where they have art shows all the time. And there's
Musa.
The university has a big art museum.
My favorite museum is called El Ex Convento de Carmen, which used to be
a convent,
obviously, ex-convento. And they have a lot of LGBT shows, which is surprising considering...
For an ex-convent?
I mean, you would think such a Catholic country wouldn't be so welcoming to all the queers, but they love it.
It's
They're constantly asking for more
shows
queer stuff.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
That's
great.
What
I
in
see.
Fact, right now, they have a reproduction of the most famous gay bar in Guadalajara in the museum called Claudia's, right?
Monica's.
And I'm like, what? Who does who? Like, we went for the opening night, and there was live go-go dancers and drag queens and an old convent. It was wild. And that's the thing that's about crazy. The art in Guadalajara. It's wild. It doesn't make any sense. They're obsessed with goth, like 80s rock, and punk. And it's just, it's so 20 years behind that it's kind of hip almost at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. But I mean, with our art collective, we've been able to, you know, meet a lot of artists and really become part of the art community, which we never really did in the United States. You know, we
Tell
were
us a little
artists,
bit about that. What do you collect?
What do we collect?
Oh, no, it's a collective.
A collective.
Artists.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We do collect art. We have a lot of Mexican art that we've bought over the years of local artists. But our collective is... You want to talk about it?
It's what?
Well, it's a collective of artists from the neighborhood. It's basically a collective of artists in our neighborhood. And we do painting and drawing at the local park for children for free. And then we have art shows showcasing local artists at one of our Airbnbs. And, you know, we just throw little events like that. And we had recently a 5-piece wind orchestra perform at our Airbnb, and it was free for the public. We're trying to like bring more art into the community, like little by little, you know?
That's
we're
great.
Not a big organization. There's like 8 of us and everyone's basically poor, you know, but we try to do what we can, you know?
That's awesome. Doing something for the community and giving back. I love it. All right. How about does Guadalajara have live theater?
Yeah. There is a beautiful theater downtown, Teatro de Goyado, that we actually went last weekend?
2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago to see La Bruja de Texcoco, who is this trans singer from Mexico City. And they put on the most beautiful production. There was it was for the women's festival, and they had 30 women choir in advance of the show that like came and sang around us.
Yeah.
And then La Bruja went on. It was,
I
cried.
Traditional Mexican like folk music. But with like a modern twist. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah, that theater is ancient. It reminds me a lot of like Carnegie Hall, but like better looking, you know?
Wow.
Older looking. And it's right in the main square. And so everything's just historic. And we've seen a couple shows there, and it's beautiful and it's very affordable.
Yep.
Even for Mexicans, because the government puts a lot of these shows on.
Yeah. It was
the cheapest ticket was
$10, I think.
Well, we got the most expensive ticket, and it was $12.
Look at you, big spenders.
Big spenders. There you go.
And there's That's also, awesome. The university has a giant complex in the north of the city, and they show like real cool artsy movies there, and we saw a jazz show there, an American jazz artist, and then
we saw Lila Downs.
We saw Lila at the bullfighting ring. And then we also saw this show of like traditional Mexican
folklorico.
So like traditional Mexican music and dancing. And I cried for an hour because it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, that's the thing. If you're not moving to a country that you're not in love with their art.
Right.
You're in the wrong country. If you don't like mariachi music, if you don't like, you know, if you don't like charros, or if you don't like folklorico, you know what? you should pack up and go somewhere else, because this city, especially Guadalajara, is so traditional in
its
arts.
Very traditional.
In a way, like, obviously they're embracing the new queer art and all that stuff, but there's such a rich traditional art here that they love it. We have all these mariachi festivals and folklorico festivals, and like, I mean, at the park up the street from our house, they're constantly doing free productions, and I love it. I mean, I love the idea that I can just walk out of my house one day and run into a mariachi playing on the corner, or I can walk up the street and accidentally see 30 people dancing folklorico, or even the native. That they do this native dancing,
like drum circle with dancing,
you know, the feathers in the hair. Yeah. I don't know who it is or what they do, so no one beat me up over it. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful that this country loves its own culture so much that they're promoting it. And it's and it's not like an old person thing. Where when I grew up in LA, my parents liked mariachi music. My grandparents did, but the young people, you know, Mexican Americans, were like, "Ew, that's gross," you know.
Right.
Here, you'll see young kids riding bicycles, blasting mariachi music on their little speaker.
Funny.
It's not an age thing here. It's not like everyone loves.
They just love the culture.
They love it, and they're so proud of it. Yeah. And that's what really excites me about living in Mexico, is that people are so proud of their culture, you know?
See.
And that there is a culture. That's the other thing. In the United States, there's so many cultures and so many things. It's, you know, hard to have a grasp on what's going on, you know?
There's a mishmash.
Mishmash.
In the U.S., you can call it that. Awesome. How about foodies? Are you guys into food? Is there restaurants in Guadalajara? Are they just local restaurants? Are they international?
There are restaurants in Guadalajara.
Get ready for this.
I would think so.
You're going to love this. We're very picky eaters.
We're picky eaters. That's true. And I don't really like street food that much. Like,
In general.
Yeah.
Like, even in the U.S., it's not, it's not Mexico. It's just,
it's not your thing.
Yeah. There are so many beautiful restaurants here.
Thematically beautiful, artistically beautiful, design
food beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hipster.
There are
rich hipster.
Amazing, like, new Mexican restaurants, if you will, that are, you know, making wild things that you would never expect. And,
you know, foam of bone marrow on a toasted sesame tortilla chip. Like, wild insane stuff.
Yeah,
crazy.
However,
things.
If you're thinking you're going to find the same quality of food that you found in the United States,
it's different.
It's completely different. You know, even like if you go to the fast food chains here that are American, they taste totally different. They don't use the same ingredients. It's usually a different menu. Like, you know, it's a spicy burger instead of a barbecue burger. Like, you have to open your mind. You're not going to find the same food you are used to eating in the United States or Canada.
It's absolutely
different.
True.
Because the restaurants here still have to deal with local ingredients. You know, Mexico cannot import food from other countries. It's the
right.
law. It's whatever's grown here is what you can eat.
Well, it's too expensive.
Unless it's like, you know. So most of the restaurants that cater to, say, like, they'll have Italian or Chinese menus, it is not what you are used to eating.
It tastes like Mexican food.
It tastes
so
Mexican.
So it's Mexican.
Like,
it's
I don't know
Mexican
what it,
Italian.
I mean, I know what it is. It's the ingredients, but it tastes Mexican. Like, if you cannot buy cheddar cheese.
Mexicalian.
Right. You can't buy cheddar cheese. It's really hard to find Parmesan cheese. You know, there's certain ingredients that are very difficult to find.
Very difficult and expensive to find.
So if you want like a really good Italian meal, you can find the restaurants, but they're very, very expensive, you know?
So you're going to have to go to Italy.
Yeah. And like, we still haven't found good Chinese, you know? And we lived in California. Asian food
in general is real hard here.
Yeah. Indian food, Asian food. Well, Asian in general, yeah. But, you know, Italian's very close to Mexican.
Yeah.
Like, ingredient
Italian is pretty good here. It's not perfect, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's spicy meatballs. Hmm.
Meatballs. Albonigas are called. Albonigas.
So, okay. And do they have like excellent, like, do they have any like 5-star Michelin restaurants, you think? No?
I think there's a few. I mean, there's no Michelin guide here, so.
Right.
No. But I do think there's a few restaurants in the city that are
fantastic.
Beautiful. like do the most amazing over the top. There's this place called Alcalde, I think, that recently posted this video of this plate they made that's like, it looks like a garden. It's like all flowers and greens, and it was the most beautiful thing I've seen. So they exist. Yes.
They do exist. There's also like a trend of all these restaurants that reimagine classic Mexican cuisine and they modernize it.
Or even pre-Mexican.
Like, pre-Hispanic. There's a lot of pre-Hispanic menus.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. Like, one of our favorites is Calite in the Americana. And they have fantastic pre-Hispanic food.
Yeah.
But modernized. There is a lot of fancy hipster restaurants in certain neighborhoods that we frequent. You know, there's also very delicious, fantastic cocktails at a lot of these places. I think a lot of these restaurants are cocktails and food driven. There's not a lot of bars. It's mostly like food and drinks here.
Right.
Like Portland.
Yeah.
Food and drinks.
There's also a lot of like.
Sounds European too, like, a little bit.
Traditional Mexican food places, you know, that make like such like clean, good Mexican food.
But you know what else is different here is that a lot of these places only sell one thing on the menu. Meaning,
really?
Like, what? They only sell tamales, or they only sell chorizo, or they only sell, you know, it's a lot of these restaurants where we live anyways in downtown. It's not a restaurant where it's like, oh, they'll have many different things in the menu. It's like they have two things in the menu and that's what they specialize in, which I think is amazing. Because if I want to get a good chorizo taco, I know where to go.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. There's no question.
That's it.
Yeah.
Great. Tell us about the crime. Everybody talks about crime and cartel stuff, and you know that's what we hear. But
yes, of course. I don't think I've ever seen the cartel.
Never seen a dead body.
I've never seen a dead body.
That's a good thing.
That I know of. Who knows? I think I pay attention on the streets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but there is a lot of. I don't know if it's a lot. There is petty crime.
Petty crime.
We read on Facebook and from our friends that people are constantly getting their phones stolen in the fancy parts of town.
Yeah.
Where we live, it hasn't happened. We haven't gotten our phone stolen. And on the streets anyways. But as far as like no one's getting shot to death by the cartel, no one's getting disappeared that we've met.
There are no shootings in malls. There are no shootings at the grocery store.
I can go to
there
the movie
are no
theater.
No shootings at schools.
I'm not going
to
get shot. You know,
guns are illegal. Correct.
I'm sorry.
Guns are illegal.
It's very, very, very difficult to obtain a gun. You have to get a permit from Mexico City. They've issued
three or something.
Two in the past 10 years. I don't know.
Like, all the guns that are used in crimes in Mexico are bought legally in the USA and brought over the border. That's a known fact. The cartel is not part of a daily life for the city people themselves. We do see a lot of signs of missing people around town. You know, it's known fact that it's a problem in this country, but I don't know anyone that's been affected by it. They don't usually mess with Canadians or Americans. You know, that's like the rule. You know, despite what happened recently in the news, I feel pretty safe for the most part. I feel safer here than I do in the U.S.
Yes.
You know, we walk the streets very late at night, sometimes drunk, and we've been stopped by the police only because they're worried about us being so drunk sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what are you doing? Where are you going?
What are you doing staggering home?
Yeah. But I've never felt unsafe in the streets.
No.
Okay. That's comforting. It's not all the time that I feel I can say that here because I'm kind of like looking over my shoulder, even going into supermarkets here. I'm like,
From the news I read from the US, I would not feel safe there. Like I'm scared. The idea of like going to a public place in the US is scary to me.
But also I'm scared in the US because of the polarization with politics, like all those crazy right-wing people that want to attack LGBT people. You don't see that in Mexico.
No.
You're not going to see a person screaming at someone because of who they are.
No,
it does not. People are too Catholic and too polite here to ever scream at you for being a homo or for being black or for being anything that's not normal, because Mexicans don't think people are not normal. It's not a thing. I mean, I grew up as a Mexican American. It's different in the U.S. You know, we were taught that things were wrong and bad, and brown was wrong, black was wrong.
There's nothing wrong in Mexico.
There is no. Right.
That's the way it should be.
Don't see outward racism here. I don't see outward homophobia here. I mean, and we are always outside. We're always, you know, watching people. That's our favorite hobby. We like to go to the park and just sit there and watch people. And I haven't seen it with my own eyes of someone being rude to someone because of who they are. Now, there is classism here, which is, like, I guess, a thinly veiled racism. But
there's less judgment in general, I think. Right. You know, it's...
That's definitely the way it should be.
Are very accepting, or at least understanding of whatever you are, whatever you're doing. They're like, oh, that's your thing, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of trans people in our neighborhood, like trans women, who are obviously, some of them are like working gals, if you know what I mean. And no one says anything. They go, oh, there's what's your face? Hey, how are you doing? Like, it's, there's no, you know, no one's screaming, hey, there's a hooker, a
there's
trans
no
hooker.
Judgment.
There's no judgment.
Right.
Yeah. And even when we go to like the mercados or anywhere, people, I've corrected people when they've said, hey, where's your brother or your friend? And I always go, no, that's my husband.
My husband.
They go, oh, that's your husband. And the next time they go, where's your husband?
Right.
That's like, I don't feel any outward homophobia at all.
No.
Or even, you know, I mean, obviously no one's going to be racist to you because, you know, the color of your skin here in Mexico. But I mean, I do get a lot of like, oh, are you really Mexican though? You know?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right. Right.
It's not my fault.
That's awesome. okay. So that's.
He's like questionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next question.
On to the next. Tell us about healthcare. What are the doctors? Are there a long wait? Is there a long wait for medical care?
No,
tell us about the systems.
Yeah.
Is there a public and a private?
Right. Yes, there is. There is. And most expats use private doctors.
Right.
By American standards, they are very, very, very cheap.
And very good.
And very good. Like really good. As Adam was said before, there's a big university here, and they have a big medical school. So there's 25 million nurses
everywhere.
Like, so many doctors and nurses. Like, but yeah, so the most expats use private and very cheap, very good. There is also a public system. So if you have a visa, you're a resident, you can be part of the public system.
And the public system is free.
It's free. It's free.
It's free for like general medical care.
Yep.
If you have cancer or need like a heart transplant, then you have to pay for it.
See.
So that's that's the thing. But also it's very, very cheap.
Affordable.
It's very, very cheap. I had an incident where I got hurt and I ended up going to the emergency room, and I went to the Green Cross, which is what we have here, Cruz Verde.
Open 24 hours
24
a day.
Hours. Now, it was a little bit of an experience because we couldn't find anyone to help us. It was empty. It was just open and empty. We ended up finding a doctor. He stitched me up because I had to get stitches in my arm. There was no soap, so I couldn't wash my hands. There was no water for me to drink. I was very thirsty. And at the end of the whole thing, I said, where do I go to pay? And they all laughed at me. And I said, oh, okay. So it's
like
free.
Pay.
But, you know, you might end up in a hospital where there's no soap to wash your hands, which is kind of a big deal. You know? But we do the free thing. And, like, we're not at the age where we need, you know,
constant medical care
yet. So when that day comes, I mean, I am a citizen and Matthew's married to me. So I think we might end up using some of the free system. But eventually we'll probably end up getting private health care. But it's very affordable. When I went to the dentist, I got a crown done for, like, a porcelain crown, I think the total was $80.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like people here, they travel to Baja or they travel right over the border to Rocky Point, and there's a whole string of dentists on the road. And they say they're like state-of-the-art.
Yeah.
They got state-of-the-art medical facilities, and it's so affordable.
Yeah.
It really is so cheap and good. The quality is good too.
Yes.
The price of a private doctor visit, I think, is around $25 for the visit. And then whatever, you know, fees are incurred, x-rays, whatever. It's very, very cheap. My parents have Kaiser in LA, and they still fly down to Mexico every couple of months to get their teeth cleaned, to get crowns done, to get x-rays, to get, you know, even though they have fantastic healthcare in the United States, they still come here because the copay is cheaper, or the copay is more than the actual cost in Mexico.
Right.
Right.
So, and if you have a deductible, they're not using it, you know?
Yep. That's
pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, speaking of healthcare, we, as a pet owner, we take our dogs to the vet. And so this might be a good price comparison for your listeners. We just rescued a dog a week ago who had a broken foot on the street. And we took him and he got x-rays and he got medication, a treatment for 20 days of medication. And the total cost was 1,400 pesos. No, 1,400 pesos. So $70.
Which is $70.
So that wasn't two Peppa. X-rays and medication for 21 days. That's cheap.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't Peppa.
No, it's the new one. He doesn't have a name because we're trying to not keep
distance him.
He's just here for a minute until he recovers. But, you know, in the United States a couple years ago, one of my dogs, or our first dog, broke her leg. And I ended up spending over $3,000. And this was, it's probably like 10 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the cost is now, but I can imagine it's a lot more than $3,000.
Let me tell you something. In the U.S., so we have a lab. We've had, what did she go to? She had a torn ACL, so like her knee.
Yeah.
In two different legs. Each leg cost approximately $5,000.
Oh, my God.
$5,000.
Two cars.
She's the most. I love the dog. Right. She's the most wonderful, lovable dog, but she's also one of the most expensive dogs that I've ever had in my life.
So much money.
Yeah. So, you know, for your listeners who are thinking about retiring in Mexico, it's very fantastic healthcare for people and pets, and it's very affordable. Our doctor, our vet rather, is very professional. You know, he has all the modern technology, very efficient and very, very cheap. It's crazy. I don't understand how people make money here if it's that cheap. But
and super sweet.
Super sweet.
Nicer than any vet I've ever met in the U.S.
Yeah, they know all our dogs' names. They know my name, which I think is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. I love
it. That's great. That's really, it's awesome. It's awesome. So do you wish you had anything in Guadalajara that you don't have, that you've had in the U.S.? What is there anything you miss?
Asian food.
Okay.
I miss Target, but, you know, that's just me. Target would be so expensive if it existed here. You know, in comparison to the prices, it would be like a luxury store.
Right.
You know,
I know Mexico has Costco somewhere.
It does.
We never went to Costco.
Costco is the same price here as it is in the U.S., which makes
it very expensive.
Yeah. When we first moved here, because we have a family account with my parents, and I bought a pair of sneakers.
Some lemons,
yellow Eureka lemons, and like three bags of lettuce and a thing of cheddar cheese. And it was 5,000 pesos, which is $250. It was so expensive. I was like, what happened? We've never been back. You know, we're not rich expats. We don't want to live like rich expats. We want to, you know, shop locally for the most part, too. We don't want to go to these big box stores.
Right.
We never went to them in the United States. We're not those kind of people. You know, we went to Trader Joe's and stuff like that, but that was it, you know. Also, you can find everything for much cheaper locally. You can go downtown and buy shoes for much cheaper. You can get fresh lettuce at the mercado much cheaper.
So tell the audience about how to obtain a visa if you were retiring to Mexico.
Yeah, so Adam is a Mexican citizen because his dad is from here. I was able to obtain my visa through Adam because we are married in Mexico. We're married in the U.S., but Mexico recognizes our marriage.
Yeah.
And we do have several expat friends who
are not Mexican descendants.
Right. Got their visas as retirees. And our friend said that he was charged $1,500 for his visa. But
through a lawyer.
He used a lawyer to do it. But he said he thinks that the cost is about $200 to $300.
If you do it yourself.
And
okay.
You have to, you know, there's like, you have to have a certain amount of income. You can't work.
You have to prove you won't be a burden onto society.
Right.
You can also get an instant visa if you buy a certain amount in property value.
A golden visa.
Yeah. So if you, I think it's $350,000. I think they might have changed it recently, but if you buy a house, a fancy house, you're automatically a citizen. But for the retirees who are on a fixed budget, they increased the monthly budget or what would you call it? I guess
the monthly amount you have to make
to $3,500 a month.
Okay.
So that's what you have to have in your bank account monthly to be able to get a visa here as a retired person.
Okay. That sounds reasonable. Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's pretty reasonable because most of these people that are coming are couples too. So,
If
you're a couple, if you're lucky enough to be a couple, I guess, and you have a dual retirement or a pension or whatever, that should be plenty of money, you know?
Yeah,
plus, you don't even need that kind of money to survive here, honestly. No.
Right.
That's way too much money. So,
that's probably like double what you need.
Yeah, it is. You know, for the cost of living, we've realized it's one third of what we used to spend in Los Angeles here.
That's pretty good.
And eat out a lot and we drink a lot and we do fun things, you know. We're not staying at home every night. So,
Right. Very cool. So are there any cons of living there?
Well, there's cons everywhere.
This is true.
Do you want to start with the cons or should I start?
No,
okay, my biggest pet peeve is the all the red tape in Mexico.
Bureaucracy.
You can't do anything without getting 15 stamps and signatures, you know? It's a big time waste, you know? For example, my online store, I have to ship everything through the post office. I choose the Mexican post office because it's cheaper for the customer. But you go to the post office in Mexico and you can't close your package. It has to be open. They have to inspect the package. They have to weigh each individual item. They critique the way you wrap the package. They critique the way you wrote the label. It's just critique. And then you have to it's such a process. You know, going to the bank is another big deal, you know. You want to take out a certain amount of money, they don't let you, and then it's a lot of red tape.
It's a process. It's
very frustrating. You spend hours and hours getting one thing done here. Customer service is not an idea that exists in Mexico as well.
Sure.
You know?
In the same way.
In the same way as you're used to in the U.S. or Canada.
Yeah.
You know, the customer
That's
is
a big adjustment.
Right. It's a big
that would
adjustment,
be a,
you know?
It's a the big adjustment. That's
not
like
always
a,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
that's like culture shock.
Temper. I'm sorry?
That's like culture shock.
Yeah.
It is,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The pedestrians don't have the right of way here.
Oh, really? They
can
run you over?
People get run over all the time.
You have to constantly look
both ways.
Anywhere you go. Both ways. Even if it's a one-way street, you still have to look both ways.
Because out of nowhere, a motorcycle will be coming down the wrong way. Because all the streets in Guadalajara are one way for the most part. You know, it's a constant worry that you're going to fall down a hole in the middle of the street in the dark.
That's my worry.
That's Matthew's prediction for his death.
Prediction for death is that I will
They're
fall
gonna find
into
you in
a hole.
Yeah.
And also, you know, everyone always talks about everyone's so lovely and sweet in Mexico. You know, they are, but they're also, they will always say yes. They're yes people. And yes people is not a good situation because say if you're ordering a piece of furniture, and they say, oh, yeah, we'll have it to you in 2 weeks. You know, throw that 2 week out the window. It's going to be 2 months. You got to learn to just be like, it's not going to happen today. You know, the most famous saying here is ahorita, right? I'm sure everyone's heard about this. Ahorita, which means right now in English. Ahorita means never. It means it's never going to happen. You call a plumber. He says, I'll be right there. Ahorita voy. You know, you can wait never. For 2 days. 2 days, the guy doesn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's very frustrating because in the U.S., you get everything done right away. You know, yep. Even Amazon here. I bought something the other day. It says it's going to be here the same day. It took 3 days. You know, it's just a matter of you have to learn.
It's part of the culture.
Your time is not important in Mexico.
Right.
No one's time is
important. No one's time does not exist.
Time doesn't exist. Yeah.
There is no clocks anywhere. Have you noticed?
Really?
There's no clocks anywhere.
There are clocks. There are clocks.
No. The batteries are all dead or something because it's not time is it doesn't exist unless it's them. If they need something done right away, they will complain if it doesn't get done. If you're not paying them in 10 minutes, you know, deal's over. It's just one of those things. So those are my pet peeves about other cons. What are your cons, Matthew? Do we have enough time?
We have enough time.
I think for me, the biggest con is the access to food. Like ingredients, you know? Like you can't find
Frisé.
Certain things.
Right.
It's real hard to recreate non-Mexican food in Mexico, if that makes sense.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, Matthew was a big Bon Appetit fan. He got the issues. He watched the videos. He made us a delicious meal every night. But we were also spoiled living in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, you have... You know, you have Whole Foods.
Everything.
Everything. You know, when I would visit my mother in Oregon, they didn't have anything. There was nothing where she lived. You know, it was like Mexico.
Like, the store here reminds me of when I grew up in small town Virginia in the 80s. It's like, you know, you've got carrots and potatoes and a lemon and that's it.
And that's it. There's no, and they don't know what gluten free is.
No.
Well, allergies do not exist in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Neither does depression. So just so you guys know, no one's going to feel sorry for you. You know, this is a country of like, what do you mean? Just go pray, drink a mezcal. You know, but you know, it's changing. It's getting more modernized. I see ads all over town for like, oh, don't overwork. Don't overthink, you know, seek help. But in terms of like, you know, groceries are difficult. We've gotten used to it. We cook a lot more basic foods now.
We've changed. Yeah. I feel like we're eating more like mid-century food.
You know? We're very 18, you're like 1800s house here.
No, like it's
farm,
like the 50s.
Farm to table. Farm to table, sort of.
It's like let's eat meatloaf and mashed potatoes and carrots. Like I would have never eaten that in the U.S. But here... That's
the
what I know how to make that I can actually buy the ingredients for, you know?
Well, also, you know, a lot of expats will just order it from a fancy, expensive, super expensive grocery store. We won't do that. So Matthew makes our own peanut butter. He makes hummus from scratch. He makes tahini from scratch. He makes, you know, we make our own pickles because we can't really find good pickles here. You know, we have a garden. We grow our own vegetables too. But we're living, you know, a different life than a lot of expats where they'll just order a $40 jar of pickles.
Right.
You don't want to do that. No. You know? We're not going to do that. We're not going to order a $20 container of hummus that's imported and it's not even very good.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, at least Matthew makes it.
Yeah, he even bakes his own bread now because we can't find good
bread. That's
great. Yeah. I mean, it's
you're becoming the chef.
A little house in the prairie, you know.
You're becoming the chef.
Yes,
the real chef. Well, that's good too. So
yeah,
you take the good and the bad.
Exactly.
Mexico gives and it takes.
Right. There you go. That's what
you know.
You
once
said.
We went. Can I tell the PV story about your glasses? The ocean took some things from us.
Oh, okay. We won't get into it then.
No, we won't get into it next time.
Okay. So in wrapping up, guys, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating, moving, or retiring to Guadalajara?
I think it is a beautiful city. And I think that from what I understand of the expats who live here, people love it. It's affordable. It's beautiful architecture, friendly people, good food. Do it.
Good weather.
Good weather.
Do it.
Cheap taxes.
Yeah.
I say do it. I say if you're of a certain age, don't buy, just rent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's the thing. Rent is so cheap here that unless...
It doesn't... Sometimes it doesn't pay to buy.
Exactly.
You're better off renting.
If you're 60 and older, just rent. Don't...
You're never going to
make that money back.
Yeah.
And property here does not increase in value like it does in the United States. Okay. Yeah. That's the one thing that people don't know.
Yeah.
Don't.
That's great advice. That's great advice, because I kind of like looked into it, and I'm of a little bit older persuasion. So looking at Spain, let's say, I was kind of weighing the, okay, if we bought at X dollar and then we rented at X dollar, during the years that, you know, we have, it doesn't really even pay to buy.
Yep.
It's like the rent is so much cheaper. Or even if they come out the same, you don't have the headaches of owning a place. So
exactly.
Well, here's the other myth about renting. In Mexico, when you rent, you are in charge of your own repairs.
Oh.
Most landlords are not going to fix anything for you.
Yeah.
Or add anything or change anything or...
They'll change it, but they'll charge you.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, oh, you want a new fancy faucet? You better go buy it.
But the nice part is you can do whatever you want. So you're like, I want to change all the tile in the house. Okay.
You can do it.
Like the landlord.
It's like your own house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, from what I understand, is you will never get your deposit back in Mexico.
Yeah.
No one ever does. So that's the
other thing. You shouldn't even call it a deposit.
I know, it's just a fee. It's a rental fee, really. Right. So yeah, that's one of those weird things. I would say that if anyone's moving to Mexico or considering moving to Mexico, you know, don't move to somewhere you've been to on vacation. Right. Don't fall in love with Puerto Vallarta or Escondido or like one of those places. Because don't move to a tourist town, you're going to get bored. And we have friends who have done this.
Yeah.
And they've bought houses or condos and they're bored out of their brains. Because you know what?
Yep.
Going to Palm Springs is fun for the weekend, but I would never live there because it's just in and out tourism. You're not going to make any friends. It's going to be very difficult. It's very expensive. If you're going to move to Mexico, move to a city or a pueblo. If you're a pueblo person, you like the ranch lifestyle, move to the country. But don't ever move to a tourist town because you're going to be bored out of your brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After that vacation mentality is worn off, what's left?
Do you do?
Exactly.
How many times can you go to the beach?
Right.
If you're not a surfer, you know. Also, think about the snowbirds. You know, there's a lot of people who only come in the winter. You're going to be friendless for the rest of the year.
Right.
You know?
There's some places that kind of...
I also would say that, you know, if you're moving to Mexico, move for the right reason. You can move because you get the bigger bang for your buck. That's great. But also be part of the culture and, you know, and integrate yourself in a community. Try to make Mexican friends. Try to learn the language. You know, try to adjust your lifestyle to meet the country's lifestyle, you know. And don't post on Facebook that you're looking for a specific kind of peanut butter that doesn't exist in Mexico. Okay? This is Mexico. You're not going to find it.
That's great advice. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate all the time you've spent in doing the podcast and getting prepared. Thank you so much for coming. It's been a pleasure speaking with both of you.
Yeah.
Keep in touch. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.